to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello!
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show we have one of our really, really good friends, Miss Miko Richardson. Welcome to the show, Miko.
Thanks for having me.
Yay, there she is. She is one of our, like, ride or die beginning
That's right.
girls.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was here when it was still in church.
That's right.
Yep. It is just amazing. I know Miko from Courtney's House of Kushan fashion shows that we've done around here. But Miko, how would you describe, if asked, how you know us?
Oh man, that's a reach. That is a real reach. I actually don't remember.
I don't remember either. I'm trying to think of what the first show I cast you in was, because that would have been when all of us met the first time.
Can you imagine finding Miko now? I would be like, that's a diamond in the rough. Oh, like, yeah, get over here.
Because I hide out. Trying to find me is literally now.
It's true. So. Yeah. I mean, was the first show we did at the gym? I feel like we had done a show before that.
Yeah. Maybe was it Fringe?
Maybe Fringe. Was casting at 1730 when we were still over on Broadway?
Mayhem?
We've been doing fashion shows together for a long time.
Yeah, so I don't even know.
But I would say that you have been in my life for at least 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
At least.
I mean, really, like, thinking about it.
Yeah, for sure.
You're someone who has definitely been around.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah. Around, for sure. Around. Yes, around. Yeah, I've been here for... Look, man, I was here when Izzy got here, when Vi got here, when you and Matt got married, when we had the official opening of this, I was here for the remodel, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now you also sit on our board as well.
Yeah, I've been on the board for a question mark.
Yeah, for like 3 years.
At least.
And maybe we might be having our concession stand be named after you.
Yeah, I know, right? Which is so crazy because I'm like, why didn't we think of this before?
I know, right?
I'm like looking back at old permits I pulled and all kind of stuff. I was like, we could have had this done
for
a long
minute.
Speaking of that, tell our listeners what you do during the day and what your kind of business is on the side.
Okay, well, during the day, my daytime career has been in quality control and assurance. I have a background in food and beverage, as well as human and animal pharmaceuticals, and I'm currently working for locally owned and operated Dermadoctor over on 19th and McGee, so I run their quality assurance and international regulatory affairs department. I'm the director over there.
Well, you are such a badass.
I know, people are always like, you do science stuff? I'm like, yeah, I have 2 degrees.
I think that's what makes you a good mixologist.
Yeah, so I was just like, all right. But then when I came out of food and beverage, well, while I was in food and beverage, I started Shots by Miko, custom cocktails and shots. And so that is a full-service beverage company. And we turned 7 next month. So, wow, crazy.
That is crazy.
I remember that launch party.
Mm-hmm. Everybody still talks about the launch party.
I was just like, yes. I was right across the street from Grinders.
Right? Yeah, it was an art gallery at the time. I think now it's like a brewery or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Shots by Miko. But prior to that, I started Osmos by M because, as you guys know, I've been doing fashion for the longest, and it was getting real irritating to being asked to help pull people aside to help them with stuff, or being like, why are you models bombarding the designers? They should just be designing. So I started Osmos by M. Model placement services, just to kind of be the liaison between, you know, that aspect of it, because I was like, I don't know how much time I'm going to be able to hold all of this together to be on the front side of the runway, so let's transition to the back side.
I would put you at the front every runway I can get.
You know, so crazy when people do see me on the front side, they're like, man, how'd they get you out of, like, a lot of pulling and yelling and screaming and kicking and fighting?
Yeah,
right.
I was just like... Well, I mean, I still to this day, and I listen all of my 5s and 10s, you have got to hear this. No one walks the runway.
No, it's a true story.
I have never found anyone.
Yeah, no, we have, like, 3 people that are guaranteed if I am doing a show, they're in it. So I don't put you at the front. You're at the back. You close my shows most of the time.
Yeah.
And Callie, who we were just talking about, opens them most of the time.
Because
I think you guys have been with me the longest. I mean, you know, I think...
Well, you have designed for their particular bodies and souls for
forever.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is something that I don't know if our listeners, you know, would give a little feedback, Courtney, you know, about how you pick your jewelry designs. Like, you're something, like, you pretty much have a dream and then picture the model that you want it to go on.
Yeah, well, because I'm not restricted by things that other, no designer should be restricted, but there are people who restrict themselves to a specific body type of, you know, sample style, of blah, 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 and all of that is like, nah, I want people. I want human beings who are going to be fierce. Do a Corey Silly Walk when we're in castings and whatever else. I don't need the, you know, perfect, I don't want a hanger, a lot of people. But I also am not designing clothing.
Right.
So it's a different, it's, I can be more free with that. Anyone, you know, I would rather, I've always said that who you are as a human being is much more important, because that is a long ass day backstage. And if I don't like you, but I don't want to spend 8.5 hours with you for 2 minutes, I don't give a shit what kind of, I've had a lot of very beautiful girls come through.
Man, we've had a revolving door, hi, and bye.
And bye.
Were you one of the crazy ones down in the West Bottoms? Were you part of the death show?
No, she wasn't. She didn't do that one.
Part of the death show.
That one. Yeah, neither was Callie. That was the only show I've ever done. That was Ashley Otis,
or
Personette, Kate Carl. Who else was in that show? Mariah Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just picture that those images. I was pregnant with Iz at the time. I was a lunatic. Who else was there?
Well, no, we didn't go on until midnight. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. Absolute madness. Casey McNamara designed that collection. I'm about to go back and try and figure out who the heck that was. Jessica, no idea what her last name is now, but she's a nurse and married to a doctor and just had a baby.
And an equestrian.
And an equestrian, yes. Mm-hmm.
How did you, Nico, decide that you wanted to go into, like, the mixology of alcohol?
It was something I was already doing. I'd always done, like, you know, vodka soak gummy bears for folks, you know, let's soak some Twizzlers and some liquor and see what we kind of come up with. It was something I was already doing before I actually got into the backside of food and beverage. I was doing that for friends. And so when I got hired at the local distillery, I took over R&D. And so I really got to learn, like, the breakdowns of what goes into making a shelf-stable spirit and all that, and got all the education. And so I was able to combine, like, the social aspect of it, of what people like, to the backside of, like, what companies want to put on their shelves. And so it was just all about, like, doing stuff for my friends. And then a good friend of mine was like, you know, you can turn this into a business and make money. And I was just like, I never really thought about it, because that's not where my brain functions. My brain functions in science and logic compared to, like, business and taxes and stuff like that. I'm just like, no, really, I just like doing stuff for my friends. It's like, put that out there and see what happens. And so I started doing some of the custom spirits for a radio show called Six Shots Radio. Then I kind of got ornery, because they wanted six shots for six topics. And so I'm like, cool. So I started upping the proofs on everything and was like, yeah, bet you they're not going to get through these six shots. No one knew for a solid 2 years who I was. Due to this radio show, I would just supply the liquor. And I would just listen and be like, all right, two down. Not gonna make it. And so once the word got out from that radio show, and we did we street teamed with bottled samples of this alcohol, mm-hmm. and just handing it out, and I started the business out of the trunk of my car.
I think I have two or three of your original bottles in my house.
People still have them in their freezers, mm-hmm. and people still approach me from
like
the
launch.
Birthday
cake or something.
I have
like
the
that.
Red velvet one.
People have loved the fruity pebbles, and I have not been able to get hold of that flavor to recreate that in years. But people still talk about, like, we remember you on the show. What's in your trunk, Miko? I'm like, look, I've moved beyond that. We're better than that now.
Well, I do have a few in my
she
trunk,
has
actually.
Alcohol
but,
trunk.
Yeah, I used to. And people are like, how do you keep everything in your trunk? So I'm like, technically it's open, but when you get pulled over, for those, don't run around going to do this. But it's harder for them to get you for open container, because you're driving. There's no way you get to your trunk
yeah.
to drink it and everything. And so I would literally be like, get you, I got cups. If you can go get you some ice, I'll pour you something. It was $5 a cup. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
That has also gotten us through quite a few fashion shows.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's been interesting.
What do you think your favorite part of that part of the business is?
I'd probably say the interactions with folks. I still base the business off the social interaction, creating an experience for people. I think that some people get so caught up in making the money and everything. Like, money doesn't move me. When I worked nightclubs and in nightlife scene, that was the one thing that irked me. They wave money in your face. Like, I'll tip you good. I'll tip you good. I'm like, sweetheart, this money don't make or break me. Like, I have a system to how I handle my customers, and waving the money is just going to get you put on the end of the line. And so it was always about, you know, the interaction and the experience for folks, especially when they did see me in other venues, in spaces that weren't mine, and then to come to something that we put on, which is very few and far in between. Like, we did the launch party, mm-hmm. we did an event called Shot Life, and then we had our 5-year. Like, that's not what mm-hmm. we do. We don't put on events. We're not a event planning, event throwing company.
How many people are part of your company?
Currently, I have 7, and hopefully, I'm going to hire a few more this weekend, because as time has gone on, my core team has evolved and they've grown, which is great. A lot of them have gone on to start really successful businesses for themselves, and they just don't have the time to, you know, do shots by Miko. Like, if it's like 12 weeks in advance, I may get some of my core team members. But some of them are like, even our standard 6-week window isn't mm-hmm. enough. And so I'm trying to, you know, replace them. Not necessarily replace them, but add additions too. So that way, you know, they're still there when necessary. But then I also have other people that are turnkey. But if they don't come in moving like me and the core team, they can't come and play with mm-hmm. us, unfortunately. So
that's fair. I mean, most of what you do is weddings and events and things mm-hmm. like that. So you have to, you know, I mean, building the people that you have that relationship with and mm-hmm. the ability to move around in that kind of environment is the most important. Again, you know, yeah, do I want to spend 8 hours with you?
Yeah. Yeah. I said that about casting shows all the time. Like, do I really want to spend the next 6 weeks with you for 4 hours every day?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If the answer is no, you're probably not going to make it
yep.
there mm-hmm. because that's my time, that's right. our time
yeah.
together.
Yeah, I think also for me, when we put up the ad looking for new staff, if you can't answer these 3 questions the way that they're written, means you can't follow directions. So at that point, I'm like, I don't have time to try to corral and
teach. Well, so much of your business is following directions
yeah.
because it's the integrity of your product.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's just like, okay. And then I also have to have a level of trust inside the new people that we work with, because we do keep all of our custom cocktails and shots and mocktails and stuff in-house. Like, we don't, you know, go out sharing stuff. When we first started, our Hennessy Margarita made it to the streets of Kansas City, and it's all over in all types of different places, and it was ours, and it should never left our grouping. And so people are like, no, you guys didn't come up with that. And like, yeah, actually. But now that it's gotten so widespread and so spread thin, it doesn't
you
even matter.
Find the source.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't even matter anymore. So we do keep a lot of stuff in-house, and so we try to not limit, but I try to keep an eye on what people are doing. Like, not saying you solely work for me and all that, and you can't go out and do bartending gigs, but you can't, don't take any of our stuff.
Your recipes.
Or if you do, you better give me full credit. Just mm-hmm. to say I'm mixing shots by Miko.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like when we work with venues, for example, Soiree up in Smithville, mm-hmm. we did her cocktail menu, and she'll tell you all day, shots by Miko did my cocktail menu. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, we'll work with the venues if they want to buy the drinks off of us or work something out where we get a kickback or something like that. That is fine and dandy. That's yours all day. But if you come to the bar and I make you some, oh my God, what's in that? Tasty goodness, drink it up. Keep mm-hmm. it pushing.
Tasty goodness.
Yeah, that is my response. Tasty uh-huh. goodness. What was that blue thing? I'm like, sometimes don't even ask me, because I'll be like, back there, I'm like, what do I have? All right, this'll work. There. So
if someone wants to hire you or get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Please go through the website and our social media portals, all of them, or Shots by Miko. Luckily, we were able, when we started our business, to be able to get all of those to be the same. No underscores, mm-hmm. no dots, no spaces and stuff like that. Everything is Shots by Miko. But yeah, go through the website. We recently updated the website, so it's all snazzy and has a quote tab. Because if you call me, all the questions I'm going to ask you are the exact same questions that are on our website, mm-hmm. and I may not retain that. You could call, and I could be in the car. I'm not sitting there writing that stuff down. So if you go through the website, mm-hmm. it's just going to be a lot easier for me to be able to have that information to build out your quote.
Yeah.
Or what kind of services do you have? It's on there. Mm-hmm. Like, how much experience do you guys have? It's on there. So.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm not a... I always want to go through websites, and I feel like that's the way we're moving, but there's so many people who still want to talk to me, and there's no not rude way to be like, if I talk to you, I have no idea what we've said 5 minutes later. Please email me.
Yeah. And it's just like, when you deal with so many people, the retention of information, it's just like, okay, I talked to you for 2 minutes, you swore it was pressing, but I'm in my car, who knows, driving to what other kind of situation. So it's just like, send it to me in black and white. Mm-hmm. It's just easier, and it's not out of, like, disregard for you, whatever you're saying. It's just that it just helps, you
know. I don't mind filling out a form or a sheet, but I need to then probably have a voice-to-voice interface afterward. Like,
I don't have a problem communicating with people. I think that it's a wonderful thing to have a conversation and be mm-hmm. able to have that in person. But if you're going to give me information you expect me to retain, I need you to write it down. Or me to write it down. And I need you to know that if I am not writing it down, if I have said you've caught me in the car, I am not writing mm-hmm. this down, then please don't hold me to anything I've said because I have no idea what it is anymore.
I just think it's been crazy how much further I've gotten through a project by talking mm-hmm. to someone on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got, you know, Sparky, I promise I won't give it away, but I have, like, the Disney World phone number that I can call and get whatever I want, essentially.
I have that with Norwegian. They'll call me and be like, when you coming again? I'll be like, look, homies, I ain't even been there that often, but hold that thought. Let me check and see what my calendar is.
I think I can
be
there in January.
I'm like, all right. So I understand the conversation. But, yeah, people who know me or they've seen me out, they assume, like, for one, I'm always the one answering the phone. Most likely it is. A lot of times it's not. Like, there's people for that. But it's really cool because they always expect me to be the one on site. I'm like, I have staff for that. You may see me upon, I may do the load-in. I do the load-in for every event, if applicable, so I meet the client. Hi, I'm Miko. Nice to finally meet you in person and everything. And then we give them a thank you gift. And then I'll come back on the backside and you know, do the load out. But I don't have to work. I try not to work events. I did a friend of mine's 300 guest wedding on the 1st. And we booked them December, January. And they're like, so Miko, you're going to be working the wedding? I was like, no, not me. Lo and behold, I ended up working the wedding.
No, I will not be.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I won't be here. You talk to me, email me, text me, I'll get all the information mm-hmm. you need, but I won't. Yeah, I ended up working the wedding. Mm-hmm. I did end up working it. And it was
The joys of owning a business, right?
Man,
all the
say
times
that.
You're like, I have people to help with that. No, I'm going to be the one doing it. Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
A lot of time.
That's the way it works.
And obviously, I am a huge proponent of a female, like, CEO or whatever, mm-hmm. so I do love that you are a strong person at the head of your company. And what is that like in 2019 to be a female sort of CEO of a company out there in what sometimes seems like a man's world?
It's a struggle at times because being an African-American woman on top of that, you get, if I'm aggressive and very standing in what I'm saying and standing in how I feel and the policies and procedures that have been, you know, placed there, you know, I'm an angry black female, I'm an angry woman, and it's projected. And so it's like, do you turn that in on yourself and kind of try to tamper down? Like, you guys know, like, I'm a huge personality. I come in, I'm like, look, we're going to be here for 8 hours. We're going to have to make this fun. I'm cracking jokes. I might go missing for a little bit because I had to find food. But you guys are usually good about food, so I don't really, you know, rarely. But, you know, I find it's definitely one of those things where you kind of, I'm like, man, do I stand in it and be like, fuck it? Or do I'm like, all right, well, let me temper that down and, you know, be very PC about this and use, you know, a calmer voice. And I even find that in my day job as well. I'm just, like, trying to, it's hard to find a balance because it is so male-dominated. Mm-hmm. And it gets frustrating. I promise every other couple of days concerning all my business, I'm like, fuck this, close the doors, lock it up, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore because I get frustrated not only with it being male-dominated, not being taken seriously, because there is this mass generalization of how specifically black business is run. about, you know, not being timely, not being professional, not communicating properly. And so I always made sure that we stood outside of that generalization, but it's still a man's world. And then on top of that, of trying to stand out, not being an air quote typical black business. Oh, y'all don't call it. Your prices and stuff is too high. But people don't understand. There's overhead. Like, my business is one of the few fully licensed and insured beverage companies in the state. So there's overhead with that. I have rent. I have my insurance. My people are insured. The licensing and everything. And so, yeah, I don't have the luxury of being like, yeah, we'll only charge you $15 an hour to come and do your... No, 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 no. We can't.
Well, if you want my quality, you have to pay for that service.
Yeah, and so then you get a lot of back and forth. Well, somebody else is only charging me. I'm like, well, you're more than welcome. If that's more appropriate to your budget, you know. And then, you know, when we do quotes, I try to make sure those are turned in mind very, very quickly, to the point where people are responding like, oh my God, you got back with us so quickly. And I'm like...
Well, yeah, it's a formula.
To me,
it's a job.
I don't know what you was expecting, but yeah, I find myself definitely being very, very hard on myself. I am my own worst critic, and people closest to me can tell you that I am, and I'll be like, forget it, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm frustrated, but then somebody will come and be like, you're doing a great job. I'm like, okay, I'm not shutting the doors today, maybe tomorrow.
I am fascinated by, as you said, you know, you're almost double stacked deck on you. Not only you are a female, but you are a person of color, and just what that is like to go out there and be like,
I'm just as good.
Yeah.
I'm just the same. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. But you do feel like you have to almost try harder in some ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We are luckily and blessed to be on the preferred vendor list for Town Pavilion. And so from my understanding, it's really hard to get in there to even be considered, but there are people who do like their event planning and be like, oh, well, hey, what are you guys looking for? And we're on that list. We're built into a couple of other venues' contracts for bar service, so that way they have, because we've worked with those venues so much, like, hey, oh, what do you need? You know, license and our insurance, bam, you know, it's done. And so it's that kind of stuff that makes you think like, well, hey, yeah, you're doing the right thing. But then when you're constantly overlooked for people who aren't doing what you're doing, or the quality that you're doing, or getting full magazine spreads and all this highlighting and best of and pitch this and pitch that, you're like, you roll your eyes really, 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 really hard, and then be like, I got $15,000 worth of alcohol right here. You know, we could drink this, right? And just be done with it all. And just be done. We could have a huge blowout party and be like, light this bitch on fire. Yeah. Right.
What were you gonna say?
I think it's interesting. We had a local actress, Bree Patterson, on, and she was saying kind of the same thing, where, you know, you get the angry black woman stereotype profile done, but then also on that same accord, there are so many people who want that also, that it's really hard when you do start to soften. That's also not
my mind.
You know,
it blew my mind. That conversation with Brie, like, changed the way that I look at so many things, because my adjectives towards you do not have to be strong, independent woman, strong, independent black woman. You are also a person who has shitty days, who's also bad at your job, who is also good at your job. And so sometimes those adjectives, I thought that I was saying the right things by telling you how amazing you are and doing those things, and but in theory I need to like love you for like your downs too.
But I think it's also in context of who it's coming from, because it's like one thing, like Corey, I know you, and I know when you said it, like I know the space that it's coming from, compared to someone who's seen me for a blip of a second, like, oh man, you are so strong and all that. It's just like, okay, grain of salt, like you don't know me enough as a person, like you were saying, as a whole person, to make that, you know, positive and negative, for lack of a better way, yin and yang type conversation, being like, man, you were strong today, but man, I know, I saw you walking through here, you looking kind of down, like, are you all right? Like, I know you guys, I'm very readable, you right. know, so when I have those spaces, like, people who know me read, you
how
know.
How do you recommend John Q. Public, who doesn't know you, on how to approach you?
Just approach me normally. Yeah. Like, just say, hey, you know, oh, man, I get all the time, oh, I recognize you from whatever. I'm like, oh, hi, well, or I introduce myself, oh, I'm Hi, Miko. And people are like, the girl who makes the shots. Like,
yes.
Yes, that's me.
But we talk about that with you, you know, Courtney, as well. Like, what is it like whenever you're, and hey, I'll even admit that a little bit about me, but I'm a man, so, you know, and I mean this no disrespect, I have no point in this conversation. But sort of like, you know, your persona is almost laid out before you get there.
Yes.
In certain ways. And especially, I think, as a woman, your persona is even more laid out often. You know, we had a situation the other day in the office where everyone kept asking what the fuck was wrong with me. And I literally realized that there are days that if I am not up and cheery 100%, I'm like suicidal or pissed or something. You know, that's the public persona of that. And that really is just my yin and yang. But I have watched Courtney go through, like, super, like, her, literally your entire life and personality is set ahead of you because you're a woman or because you have three girls or children or...
Well, and what all of us do is very public. Mm-hmm. And we've had that a lot where, like, both of us, because we also are public, but then have sort of a lot of the same clientele, that mm-hmm. the amount of people... probably more than any other, and it's strange because theater is what we do, but more than any other human being that has ever walked through these doors, the amount of time that I've heard, well, I know Miko, so. And I'm like, you know I can just text her though, right? Like, you know, the very first thing I'm going to do when you leave, I'm like, you know this person? And most of the time, and it's the same thing on both of our courts, I think you get it often too, where I'm just like, but you know that we'll talk.
I love when people tell me about Courtney Cave Perry. I love it when I'm just like, you have no idea who I am,
right.
Do you?
You
go ahead and
if you did and you knew Courtney, you know exactly who I am. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know.
You
Courtney.
Don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
I think that's worked out for like two people ever that have come in and dropped your name.
In the full span of everything.
In the probably like 45 to 50 people that have dropped your name.
Right. She's like, do you know these people? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Q and someone else.
Like,
I love you.
Don't do that. I'd be like, mm-mm. You know, so and so.
But a lot of that comes with from my angle of sort of what we talked about before is you've been here from the beginning. So like, no offense, but like if you look at who was here in the beginning and who's now and who's here now, like there's no one.
There's four of us.
Like
yeah.
You know, I mean, like
yeah.
when you really go back and look at our friends, you know, you look at like the Amandas and the Cats and all of those
mm-hmm.
people that were like. Right at the beginning on the side that are now flourishing in their own ways.
Right.
You know, they have found their own places, and we as like a core group of people
mm-hmm.
have really somehow stuck together. So like, I trust you implicitly, Miko.
Yeah.
Because I both know that you have our best interest and that you're not going to put up with any bullshit.
Yeah.
So that's, and that is something that I need personally in my life is people who literally can see through the bullshit and get the job done.
Yeah, and that
and not bitch the whole time because at some point it's just work.
Yeah,
like,
just
we
do
are,
it.
We are both cleaning these pews, you know, back in the day. Like
it.
We're just do it. Courtney is helping lay the floor while
right.
I am in tech for full.
Yeah, I want to set these chairs down. Oh, we need to move these tables. Okay,
no.
Cool, no big deal. Like you know.
But I don't expect you to do that. But I love someone who just jumps in and
does it. Yeah.
Who just knows that the end result is just getting the
job done. It's bigger than these individual little nickel and dime things
yeah.
that we're doing. For me, I know that when I speak of the Arts Asylum, people are always like, where is that place at? And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to need you to expand your bubble. For me, the Arts Asylum is not only a place where my friends are, I watch my friends turn into this amazing space, but it literally is an asylum, and not just for arts. It's just like you guys are so close, you know, to Restart that, you know, I've never in any of the time being here where the front gates are open, had anything from the staff or anybody from here be rude to those people in their situation. It's always like, you guys can't be in here roaming around and stuff because it's not just us. There's other people in this building that, you know, just kind of don't want people roaming around. It's always been very community-based. And so when I tell people about this place, I'm like, yeah, you guys, you know, y'all want to do a paint and sip? Look over here. I'm always like dropping and people are looking for places because it's just like, this space is so amazing. And with the growth of where it's come from and where it's going, even still, it's just something I definitely think not only the neighborhood here benefit from, but I think the city as a whole, because you just hear about, like, the arts programs in the schools dying off. Like, I played clarinet all the way through college. Through high school, take that back. I played saxophone in high school. And it's just, like, all that kind of art stuff. My dad loved to draw. We liked to draw. He was a big, you know, Star Trek-y, small model you know, type person. So then here I am in the arts of alcohol and the arts of fashion and stuff like
but
that. And I just
too.
Think, yeah, I just think that creating a space like this, knowing all the different types of tenants that are here, is something that I definitely think should be more top of the list and on the radar for the city as a whole. And it's just like really shocking that even still that it's still here and people are just like, where, what? So like, mm-hmm.
But I do believe that the arts asylum finds its people.
Yeah, definitely. So
the people who need it find it. And that is why I truthfully believe that it is an asylum. You know, there have been people who have walked through these doors that have been like, I'm going to come back here, or felt like they had been here in a past life, if you believe that stuff. And I, you know, my husband always talks about that fact, that what this building has always done since the day that it was built was bring people here to congregate, to be, to have discussions, to spend time together, to believe in whatever, you know, they want to. And so, of course, the lineage of these walls does that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people think that it's very, and it was initially when we came up with the title, but like, you know, it was both the tongue-in-cheek, like the artists are crazy people, but very much relied on the notion of being able to seek asylum. I think a lot of people don't think of the word in that way. Mm-hmm. They just think loony bin or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And that was so not the intention. I mean, it's fun that it worked both ways.
Yeah.
But that it really is that's what places, you know, that's what church was. That's what, you know, I mean, that there are so few of those. And in the current state of affairs, where we are now in the world.
Well, I definitely think that places that weirdos can come and feel safe is
that's
important.
Yeah.
You know? But the reason why I sort of brought part of that up is because I do believe that leaves our doors as well. Like, with Restart in the neighborhood, we also want to make sure that we are not another business necessarily in the neighborhood that turns a blind eye to them. Mm-hmm. You are right next door to me. You are part of my community. There's not a tenant or a patron who doesn't have to have interface with you. So why don't we just teach them all that it's okay to say hello?
Yeah.
And if you ask for money or you bug them, also to our patrons, like, that's not every single one of the people who's next door either. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's this learning that takes place between humanity just right outside of our doors from time to time. And so I sell people that. And they're like, well, why did you let that person come inside? And I was like, well, that person came to my door and actually asked if they could look at art.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if they just want to come in because it's too hot or if it's too cold. But for, like, I have had some amazing conversations with people just standing in the lobby talking about what's on my walls. And then they're just like, I'd love to come back another time. And then they do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so glad that, of course, the asylum found you. You know, you got your ass here, and you've been here.
I think also what helped definitely once we decided that we were gonna pick a space, especially for the sanctuary, because we were kind of going back and forth, like, okay, what do we want to do? But I think once we decided on a theater space, I think that also opened us up to more of that theater community. Like, of course, they know all of us. You know, everything, but it was like, okay, now we actually have a space and we're willing to work with you in order for you to put your productions together, big or small. And I think that was really, really cool.
I think that was first, like, outside of just buying the building or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I think that was the first investment that the asylum made in itself. To be like, this is how we're going to move forward and do that. And that, you know, that is Courtney and I's famous Nuts and Berries conversation sitting at the zoo, because we just felt like we were so trapped in being an event space.
We had to make a choice.
Definitely, because it was one
either.
Or the other,
right.
And it was just like,
and we weren't really serving either the theater or the events for
correctly.
Exactly.
And that, you know, that was the one of them. You know, Evie coming on as our executive director and really charging us to do this lobby renovation has been another huge thing, because now we've expanded and our business, like, now when people walk through the front doors, they have that experience from the second they walk in the doors until the second they leave. So then also lets us know that now we need to go outside of our doors and do some exterior work.
Yeah.
So now it's from the time you arrive at the space to the time that you get back in your car, you're having this experience.
It's really cool. Really cool.
And you're a part of that, you know.
Well, I get a few votes here and there, you know. Yay, nay, first or second, let's move on.
It's pretty cool. So you have something with fashion coming up soon?
Actually, I have a couple of things coming up soon. So outside of Shots by Miko and Osmos by M, I did create and curate for a solid 5 years the Kansas City Urban Fashion Fest, mm-hmm. which basically benefited our local nonprofits. No knock on any of the other fashionable organizations or things that are done in the city to give back, but I just felt like it wasn't close enough to home for me. So when I started the show, I know being in fashion with all of you guys, you make so many friends and you know so many people who are just trying to get their start, and they were being turned away from those bigger fashion platforms as no experience. Well, I've been here for a good long while. Let me put that to work. So out of my own pocket, I started Kansas City Urban Fashion Fest, which basically was for designers, hairstylists, makeup artists, basically a platform for them to get the experience so they can go on and do those things. And so we did that.
I think
that
we had 2 years of that here, right?
At least all the cast. And I'm like, look, I'm always like, hey, Courtney.
But the thing I loved about that is your mission in that also aligned with the arts assignments
yeah.
of giving people this platform and this space to try and yeah. dream, you know?
Yeah, just to go on, because if you're getting turned away by the big ones that say they represent this city, like, that's not fair because you don't have the experience. And so utilizing, you know, my credentials and, you know, my experience in the fashion industry, those big people that you're going to go talk to with these other fashion things, they know who I am, whether they like me or not. They know exactly who I am.
That's what I say, too. They know me, whether they like it or not.
Whether they know me or not. And a lot of the designers who started at the show were able to get on those stages from doing that show. But my main point also with helping them was to give back to the smaller nonprofits that don't see those platforms mm-hmm. and don't get that huge money with a comma. And so after 5 years, it just was taking an emotional drain on me. So I did kind of shut the doors, because it became the people who were coming to be involved were have the expectations of those bigger platforms. I'm like, that's not it. This is funded literally out of my pocket. Like, I pay for everything out of my pocket just to make sure these nonprofits get a check at the end of this. Like, that's what it was about. And it turned into something like a me type thing. And I was like, this is not what this is about. This is about my heart of giving. And I was like, if this is what it's going to be and which I want to turn it into, I am done. I'll cut the check to the nonprofit myself, you know, and save all of this mess. And with that, doing that has allowed me to take away from doing all that work myself and just do like show coordination and model coordination, stuff like that. And so I am working with the Art Deco fashion show this year that's going on August 19th. We're finalizing the venue, and so I'll be taking over all like the model duties, training the models, doing the casting calls and everything, which we'll be hosting here next week, next two Sundays. Here at the Arts Asylum. And so it's allowed me to be able to do that, to kind of impact and touch back on training these upcoming models. Like, a lot of them, first thing out their mouth is like, hi, my name is whatever, and I'm a model. You know how interchangeable and loose that word is nowadays? Like, people just never
know. I'm a model,
know.
Too. If I just take an Instagram photo.
I'm telling you, or put an underscore model behind your Instagram right. name, or get you a Gmail that says whoever, bookings@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Like, that's another funny thing. Like, I've purchased my domain for when I model. Like, my domain is the Model Miko. Like,
mm-hmm.
$7.99 a month. Like, I mean, a year. Purchase your domain and get some legitimacy about you. That's a whole, that's another beast.
And that is why I think that you know, sort of do those classes, and you are a resource for people to understand. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like really, and I would say probably 99% of the people who have sat on our couch are people who have that same like-minded idea of wanting to better, you know, and train the next generation
mm-hmm.
of what's going on, and as well as, like, to pay it forward.
Yeah.
I don't really think that there's also been anyone who has sat on this couch who doesn't understand that they are here because of their hard work and their luck and their knowledge. And isn't that sort of, like, what a fun tangent conversation, but just, like, competition is so funny to me because, like, we're not the same human. We don't need to compete.
Mm-hmm.
I need to root for you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You're Miko. I want Miko to be this extraordinary human, and if I'm jealous of you, then what the hell's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it something that I feel inadequate
mm-hmm.
about? Is it
yeah.
something that I, you know, and...
Yeah.
I just have those crazy conversations sometimes by saying, like, I work my ass off, but also, like, be present and be kind and have courage, you know.
Yeah,
fortune favors the brave.
You can't take any of this stuff with you. Like, as far as, like, the knowledge and the experience of stuff, you've gone through, you don't want other people to go through. I'm the eldest of four. So for my brothers and sisters, my baby brother wanted to buy a car. I was like, I want to get a car loan. And all of us are like, no, don't do it. Get a cash card. And he's like, why? I was like, because if you lose your job, they don't care. And he went and got him a car loan. And lo and behold, he lost his job. And we're like, they still want that money, right? Huh? He was like, well, yeah. And I was like, so it's one of those things, like, if I have an experience in it that you may not have, It does me no harm by telling you what I've been through, so you don't have to go through it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to die. My clock is probably shorter than my baby brother's clock and any, you know, people younger than me's clock. But it costs me nothing to pass along that information.
And even that information does not necessarily mean that they're going to take it from you.
Exactly.
Or, you know, it's just so... Competition is just such a weird thing. And in the arts world, it, you know, I always say... There's one director of a show, and there's a cast of 30 people in there. And every time I stand in front of my cast and my show and my team, I'm always just like, you are all hand-picked to be here because there are 20 people who would be knocking down the door to take that part from you or that job from you or whatever. So please take pride in, if you are the person who is moving a box stage left to stage right, there's someone else who would be doing that. For me, so why don't you move that box from stage left to stage right with the importance and the integrity that you were if it was your entire show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now we get to move into the questions portion.
Yay, cool
of,
man.
Of this game. I think that this show is always so funny because the first, you know, half of it, we spend so much time learning about you, and then now we kind of get to know, like, what's beyond, like, the business card of Miko. Like, and that's what I sort of feel like the first half is that if you're standing in an elevator, these are what people would say, and now I'm just like, well, what if we were, like, smoking a joint or drinking a, you know, drinking a glass of wine?
Right.
These next parts are, like,
oh, cool.
The funny
all
parts.
Right. Because we haven't drunk wine together.
And if you're just tuning in, we are, this is Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, and we are speaking with our friend Miko Richardson.
Yeah.
So my first question is, what is your definition of real magic?
Real magic? I probably have to say the tingly feeling you feel in the pit of your stomach. Mm. For me, like, when I connect with something, it's magical, for one. You know, you look through that lens, like, with, like, the fuzzy edges on it and everything. Mm-hmm. I
your
see
Instagram
that.
Filter? Yeah.
Yeah, I see that, and I feel it in the pit of my stomach because there's something there that connects, you know? So I'm like, that's...
Yeah. I love that. The tingly feelings in my stomach is what real magic is.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that right now. It's pretty magical.
That's funny. All right, you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Oh, man. Like the real crayon box? Okay, fine. A real crayon box. If I was
no, you
color,
make up whatever color you
right,
want.
Right, I'm like, I don't know. I would probably have to say it would be like a berry color because I feel like
a berry color.
Yeah, like almost like, or an oxblood type reddish deep berry. Only because I feel like that color looks good on everyone, whether you're like super, super pale or super melanated. And I just like to be able to see, you know, like when they do that lipstick thing and they put it on all the people, or they do the orange swatch. Like, I feel like that color always looks good on everyone. So that's me, because I will find a way to look good on you, next to you, around you. Like, I'll find a way to make you smile. Like, I'll find a way to, like, get onto you. And you'll be like, I remember you from...
Miko is the berry lipstick.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing.
Okay, now hold on. I'm going to tangent here for a minute.
Yeah.
Have you seen the lipstick that you put on like a metallic matte, and then you wait for a second, and then you go, everybody, I'm pressing my lips together, and then glitter.
No!
I got some yesterday.
Does it work?
It does work. It's so
who's it from?
Good. Well, the one I got is NYX.
Okay.
But apparently there's an LA Girl one, and then there's
one
that's
LA
like...
Oh, I Girl, because she's right in my budget.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. The next one's good, too, but apparently there's one from Sephora that's
glitter.
Like, you know, $20. It's so good. I totally meant to grab it, because I'm not a lipstick girl either, but, like, I put it on, and it's, like, this pewtery kind of color.
Is it easy to
color.
Come off, too? Can you wipe it off? Or is
well,
it
that's
thick?
The other thing. I don't know, like, this, like, wiping it on the back of my hand does not move. No glitter fallout.
No glitter fallout.
No glitter fallout. It was good.
is feeling about that.
I mean, it was good.
It's
but
gonna get a hold of that.
Oh, yes, she is. Yeah, but I will say that, like, the makeup wipe, now, I think part of this is because it was, like, a dark, like, it almost looked like galaxy lips, because it was, like, a dark pewtery kind of, you know, gunmetal color, so it was a little much to take off. Okay. I don't know that it would be if it was a normal berry color. Like, there's all different kinds of, like,
cool.
normal
I wonder
colors.
If maybe if you baste it with maybe, like, chapstick, it might come out
maybe
better,
it
too.
Was.
Because I know my
a little drying, but
yeah.
that's okay. You know,
I know what my
lips.
Yeah, I know what my mats. I'm always like, I got to put some chapstick on
right.
first, because I feel like this is going
it's
going to
be here
for a while.
Like
3 weeks. Exactly.
So I'm just saying, you pick it up at Walgreens. There's all also right. a fancy one at Sephora. Who knows how much that one is. Yeah. Well, because where is a Sephora? There's just one on the plaza, probably.
I don't know.
There is one on the plaza. There's one inside of JCPenney. Park Mall.
Look.
Sure, I don't go to Oak Park Mall. That's really far.
No.
Anyhow, we'll tangent
anyways,
there for
yeah.
a minute.
Good job.
Yeah.
What is something that you were told when you were younger that you couldn't do that you are in the process of accomplishing or have accomplished?
That I couldn't do. I mean, you know, the hell of driving a car where you're like 4 or 5 part, you know, it's probably one of the ones that I probably dug in on when I was young, but, you know, not in my own little hoorah. probably I wouldn't say anything. My parents were really, really in a space of kind of make sure that you get your education, and that's something I have accomplished, you know. Now looking back at on it and talking to Sally Mae every month and the college part of it, I had really great experiences, but I don't like paying her. But yeah, I probably wouldn't say there's much of anything that I was thought I couldn't do.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, I have a really, really open family, which is surprising because they were really strict. Like, my dad was really strict. Like, he was the one who doled out the discipline. My mom liked to be like, oh, you're going to cuss, you'll put soap in your mouth. I'm like, psh, that lasts all of, like, no time.
Right.
All right, so.
I like to taste the soap as well.
I'm like, after a while, I'm like, what are we doing, Dove? You know, like, you know, I wasn't really a real big potty mouth. I'm just like, Dove from the bathroom. We'll be all right. We'll live.
Yeah. We'll get it through. Right.
Hope it didn't hurt nobody.
That's fun. If money wasn't a concern, what would you do every day if you didn't work?
Help the community. I would probably say the most over this last, I would probably say 3 years. I made a goal for myself once I paid off my car loan that I was going to start saving money to buy apartment buildings for affordable housing. And that was before we got into this whole gentrification crisis that the city's in now. And I'm still working towards that. So I've been offshooting, still air quote, paying my car payment to a different bank account. So that way I can help the community. I just see so many people, and that's a constant, like, gripe. And I feel like I can't expect you to be functioning in your best self if you don't have a place to go and rest and be comforted and kind of, you know, decompress. I can't expect, you know, you to go out and find your best job or do the best for your children, everything, if you don't have a space of your own, because you're out here constantly working to try to have what little bit that you do have, and people take advantage of that by not providing you a livable space. And it's just really, really unfortunate. So I really want to,
like,
work in that
love
space.
You, Nico. Like, Jesus. Like, of course you're my friend.
Well, but it's crazy, and it's sad because, you know, when I was younger, you know, my parents, they worked and everything, but they were also like the landlords. I remember us, you know, renting from, they were just kind of like, psh, you guys are, you know, a black family. You know, you guys can live in the hood and tolerate this kind of thing. Or, you know, oh, the water pipe burst, deal with it. We'll get somebody over there, to the point we were driving, you know, to my grandparents' house all the way in Grandview to get jugs of water because they wouldn't come and fix the water, or the city wouldn't come and fix the sewer, so all that stuff was messed up. My mom's like, well, you guys can't have friends over because the water is not working here. And it's just like stuff like that. But I'm like, but if you stop paying the rent, then where are we going to go? And so seeing stuff like that and hearing those kind of stories from, you know, people that I know, you know, near and far to me, it's just like, this isn't the way that it should go. And so I've been making sure I've been doing my part. I'm at, you know, the TIF meetings and, you know, the neighborhood. I'm watching Cordish. Yeah, I'll speak on them. Mm-hmm. I'm watching Cordish. I'm watching KC Tennis. They're a really interesting group. And I've also, you know, been educating myself. I talked to a lot of realtors. What's going on here in the city? What's going on across state line? I went and joined the REIT program about commercial real estate and graduated from the second cohort in the city. you know, to make sure that I was fluent on that behind the scenes stuff that a lot of us aren't privy to. And they intentionally make sure we're not privy to these things. And a lot of this stuff has been on the books.
Well, it keeps people down.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff has been on the books for 15, 20 years, and it's just now coming to fruition. These handshakes and ink deals have been done, and we're just now seeing them break ground on it. And people aren't educated about it. Like, the whole, you can freeze your personal property tax, your property taxes, if you're a senior, if you just sign the form on the back when they issue it. People don't know, flip the sheet over, and you can sign off on that, and they can potentially freeze your property taxes where they are. Why they just had that story about Jackson County's property taxes being doubled. And
I mean,
oh, look, well, I already know.
Somebody in our neighborhood had a 400% increase in their property tax. Ours went up probably almost 100%. I mean, in my house, and it's just, it's absolutely asinine. And people, you're right, have no clue. Like, they just have no, you know, I mean, like, there's just, yeah, it's nutty. We've definitely...
And the F-ball opportunity zone mess. Like, we can go on and on about that, like, because that just pulls on our heartstrings, because I know neighborhoods that have older people that have been there from, you know, this is the house they bought, they raised their kids in, they just want to live here, they want to leave it to their grandkids, and it's the hub for that family. And now they may have to figure out where to go.
Isn't that mind-blowing?
Yeah.
You know, or they're putting the stake in the line, talking about, you haven't paid your personal property taxes in 3 years, it's going up on the auction for, like, pennies on the dollar.
Yep.
And it's a sickening type thing. So I'm trying to do my part, you know?
What do you think your superpower is?
Goofiness. I said, if I was to die tomorrow, I told my boyfriend, I said, if you get up there and do my eulogy, don't pull that, oh my gosh, she was a kind heart. Like, yeah, all that stuff is true. I said, but I need people laughing and running back some video of me, you know, just living my best life, doing what I do. I would probably say, because I don't know. I feel like there's so much sad and so much down, and, you know, I'm just being me, just bringing smiles to the world that is. I don't want to do stand-up or nothing like that. I just want to be my little goofy self and include my realm of people that may come in contact with me and bring a smile to people's faces. So,
of course,
right? Because you all guys know it's true.
I know.
It's true. We do. All right. Let's see. This one's been interesting.
Okay.
If you could rule the world for one day, what's something you would ban?
Donald fucking Trump and all of his cronies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah. I'm glad you're the first person that's just straight out said it.
Yeah.
Which is excellent. I agree 100%.
Well, that's amazing. What is a common saying or phrase that best describes you?
Push through. Because, actually, I named my real estate company. I just started that a couple months ago. It's called Push Through because... there's always at some point where you feel like you want to give up. Like I was talking about earlier, every other day I'm like, close these doors, forget it, I'm done with it. And something just makes me kind of continue to push through. And I feel like if you have the motivation of seeing what's on the other side, good or bad, you just kind of got to keep pushing through the muck, the water, the air, you know, situations, you know, to see what's on the other side. So that's my own personal kind of like mantra type movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. Do you want 3 wishes over 5 years or 1 wish granted today?
I'll take 3 wishes over 5 years.
What are those 3 wishes?
Standard
genie rules apply.
Dang. All right. Oh, yeah. Can't wish for more wishes. I haven't seen the new Aladdin yet. It's one of my favorites.
I'm going tonight.
Can't bring people back from the dead.
I'm excited.
It's not good.
It's, let's see. World peace. Not really. That's a hard one. I would probably say no. I don't. You know what? That's a hard one. That one takes a little too much time because I feel like as soon as I say it, I know there's other things that have to happen.
Mm. Well, see, that's me too.
Well,
what's
your
gut
right now?
Three wishes on my gut. Everyone to have a home. Have a home to call theirs, flat out, period. But I know that's like a government trickle down. But okay, whatever.
That's your wish.
Yeah, that's one. Money not to be such a big thing in people's life. I know people that lose their dang on mind because of the association of money and having it or not having it. Money just kind of like not being a thing. And the ability for people to to freely love who they want to without judgment. Because I feel like there's lenses that people look through to say, like, this is how I want it to look like, and this needs what it needs to be framed out. I don't care who you loving up on. You ain't coming over here bothering me. I'm not over there bothering you. You good people. We can look. We can.
I think that's the best part about love is that it's no one's damn business.
Right. Right. And then once you start getting into what people are doing behind closed doors, like, for one, you nosy. Like,
no. I don't want to know.
I don't know. Because, you know, it could be me and a man, and we could be doing some wild stuff behind a closed door that two women and two men could not be doing, and you'd be like, but they're the ones doing wild stuff just on visual association. No, like, I don't care. I think I don't care enough.
It blows my mind whenever, you know, I hear people still talk about, you know, not only, like, LGBT, like, relationships, but really still how, like, a white and a black person together,
right.
or an Asian person and like a black person, and you just are like, there's actually still like racism amongst like who marries into like your family, who makes your person happy.
Yeah.
So like, and you know, I've made the joke like, you know, can you imagine if I like, if I was gay and I was like with a person of color, like the potential of like our, you know,
yeah, the lenses that people,
yeah, to be like, they don't like that I'm gay, or they don't like that I'm a white man with another, like, mm-hmm, with a person of color. Like, it's just like, I,
damn, there's so many layers to this that I have to get through just
that
to
are
like
no one else's business.
That right. When the bottom line is like that I found someone to love and love me back. Mm-hmm. Is I'm awesome.
Right.
Rock on.
Right.
Like, you should do that.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Believe it or not, that is our hour, guys.
Yeah.
So I always end with two questions.
Okay.
One, is there anything that you didn't get an opportunity to say on the couch, or you would like to say to our fives and tens about you or the Arts Asylum, life, any words of wisdom?
Yeah, a few things. So I have been given the platform along with Couch Chats for this week, but next week I will be at Chess Inc. on Gillum. The Porterhouse is doing entrepreneurship journeys, and so I am their June speaker. I still ain't written what I'm supposed to talk about. So they want to know about my entrepreneurship journey, so I'll be doing that next Thursday at 6 o'clock at Chess on Gillum. Want to give a shout-out to Boo of Sugar Boo. Yeah, we'll probably trademark that, you know. That'll probably be our hashtag when we get married.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all the support he gives in his business, which is woodshop.com.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, you know.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me in a small nutshell. But you're more than welcome to follow my Facebook because there's some random stuff on there.
Well, I have one. Can I have one?
Yeah.
Because this will air on Thursday. So today, when you're listening, it's Thursday. Please go vote on
Tuesday.
Yes, man.
Do that.
Another episode
in
for
the
local elections matter. As we've seen,
local elections definitely matter.
Missouri.
What are you guys? What district is this?
We are in third district.
You are third district.
I'm in fourth district at home. Yeah.
Yeah. Since I live in Raytown, I've just been like talking to all the people. I live in Kansas City. Like, y'all need to get out and vote.
Get out
and
vote.
Get out and vote. And at least educate yourself on it. That's the big thing.
That is the follow up, and also vote educated.
Yeah.
Yes.
They said almost a third of voters are undecided when it comes to mayoral race, and I'm just like,
I know exactly.
No, this was coming up.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
My thing about the voting thing is that now that there's so many people who have turned out and all these new people are coming in,
mm-hmm,
what is that gonna look like?
It's gonna be a new melting pot of people.
Yeah, and I'm
ideas.
Wondering if maybe they should build in something for people going out to say, hey, we need you to stick around for like 6 or 8 weeks to get these people acclimated,
uh-huh,
like a small like mini training program, because I just feel like it's gonna be
almost
like
a sponsor, mm-hmm, or something.
Yeah, I feel like it's gonna be all over the place until they find their rhythm.
Well, we have the possibility of completely shaking.
Yeah,
which is true.
Yeah,
I mean, look,
it could be good too, yeah, but we need to remember the good things that have happened,
yeah,
and the stuff that we want to work on.
It's true.
And then, who would you like to hear from on the couch?
I would probably like to hear from. Oh, I know. I don't know if you guys do two people on the couch at a time, but not that it matters. The two new daiquiri shop owners. You know, there's Velvet Freeze on 18th and Vine, and then there's the K Street Daiquiri Shop on Grand, and they're two BOBs, which are really weird because now they're almost functioning the exact same with one being,
mm-hmm,
around longer,
right,
than the other. I'll probably say more so the Velvet Freeze owners because they had to go through some ducking and dodging and everything to get their liquor license, and as one who had to go through that process, It'd be interesting to hear how that works for Entertainment District and grandfathering and working around some of that stuff.
Well, that would be an absolutely interesting conversation.
And hopefully that could bring out some samples.
I love samples.
I'm all about samples. I ain't bring none of that.
Because, like, I'll show up to that.
I'll stand over here on the wall and be like, just let me try.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, guys.
That was a really informative hour. I'm really glad that we had you on.
Yeah,
I had to.
Tune in next week where we will have a brand new guest. We're still working on that official booking, but it will always be good. And make sure to get out and vote. Go and see some theater this next weekend if you get an opportunity.
Yeah.
I like to do that plug. The Arts Asylum is getting ready to have the Fringe Festival here next month where we will have six shows in rotation. My goal is to try and get a representative of each one of those shows
on
to sort of get to pimp theirs. As well as if you have nothing going on. Look at all of these promotions.
I know.
If you have nothing going on the day that you hear this, come on out to Hamburger Mary's for Drag Race Survivor, where I am a judge. This week will be cotton candy, so we will see what that means. anyway, tune in, and we'll see you next week. All right.
Good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.